You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 22nd of August 2025. It's a day where the share market eased back from yesterday's record high, the ASX 200 down about 0.6%. We'll have the details with Isaac Poole in a few moments from Ascalon Capital. But first to Mexican restaurant chain Guzman and Gomez. Its shares tumbled 17.5% today, and that's despite a full year profit of $14.5 million. In its very first year as a publicly listed company and on record $1 billion worth of sales. It even declared a maiden dividend of 12.6 cents per share. Now, what investors didn't like was its Australian sales for the first 7 weeks of this financial year at 3.7%, which is considered soft. So to talk about that and more about the industry, I spoke with Guzman and Gomez co-CEO Stephen Marks. Stephen, $1 billion worth of sales, a maiden dividend. Has the first year as a listed company lived up to your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was fun. I was talking to the team and they know this. You know, for our first 17 years, if you basically added all those sales together, our cumulative sales, we did $1 billion. And last year alone, we did $1 billion. And I just cannot be more proud of the team. I mean, the revenue, the profitability of our restaurants, what we've done on a menu side, it's just... You know, when you work with people that you have so much respect for and everybody is so aligned on what the vision is, and, you know, obviously the people at Ola Central, the crews in our restaurants are amazing franchisees. Man, it was a record 12 months, and I just could not be more proud of the team on what they delivered, especially it being our first year as a public company.
While the U.S. is a small part of your business, I'd love to get your take on the U.S. economy, though, and the U.S. consumer. How are they feeling? And to what extent is the broader economy there being reflected in GYG U.S.?
Well, you know, U.S. is a very small part of our business. You know, we've got board approval for 15 restaurants in the Chicago area. We know what it takes to build brand, right? I mean, when we think about it, we did $1 billion in revenue this year. You know, 20 years ago, we opened up Newtown, did 11,000, you know, that week. And that store now does 120,000. So for us, you know, excluding obviously the macro environment, you know, we believe that nobody has the food that GYG has on offer in the U.S., you know, and sometimes people are shocked to hear that, but it's really true. We know the landscape very well, but most importantly is the hospitality we give in our restaurants, the experience you get at GYG, right? When you look at typical fast food, fast casual places, the crew, there's no love. You know what I mean? What I'm really proud about the 8 restaurants we have in the Chicago area is that revenue's growing, comps are growing, but we got the culture right now. And everything about GYG is culture, right? There's two things as you really get to know us that we'll never compromise on. It's our food quality, obviously our clean menu, and our people. And that's one thing, you know, over the last 5 years of being in Chicago, we've got our team right above restaurant. We got the best general managers, and you can feel the love of our crew. And that will become a competitive advantage as we start to obviously roll out our stores in Chicago.
What about that economic environment, though, and the U.S. consumer?
Well, want value, right? I mean, the same thing here in Australia. You know what I mean? And that's our whole thing. What GYG's been able to figure out is value. And to us, value is the quality of our food at obviously the speed that we can give it to our guests. You know, when I think about Australia, and it's very similar to the U.S. I mean, the U.S. has, you know, the demographics are a little wider, but, you know, the demographic that we hit is very similar to Australia. You know, in Australia, you know, when I look at, you know, people passing along price to their guests, like last year, GYG took a 1% price increase, the lowest out of any industry. So, you know, when people are talking about the first 7 weeks, you know what I mean? Like every week's important to GYG, but we look at things on a year-long, you know, obviously plan, 5 years, generational plan. You know, over the last 6 years here in Australia, we've averaged 15% comps. During those 6 years, every year, are you going to be able to beat comp? You know what I mean? And we do. So that's why, you know, this first 7 weeks, I've seen out of the last 6 years, 15% of the weeks over the last 5 years, 7 years have been, you know, under 5% comp. So I know what we have ahead of us. You know, we're confident we're going to grow sales, and we're confident we're going to grow, obviously, comp sales here in Australia. And I think when you think about the micro, macro environment, same in Australia as it in the U.S., people need to eat. Right. And for us, reinventing fast food is the key, that you should have high quality food at great value and obviously at traditional fast food speed.
People need to eat. Those input costs, food, they're still rising though. And as you mentioned, you haven't necessarily passed on those cost of goods sold onto menu prices. But is that something that's likely to continue, or are you seeing pressures there?
No, I think, man, that's a great question. Last year, there was some cost of goods pressure, right? And we made a long-term decision, as we do. We did when we were private, we'll do when we were public. What's best for our guests? You know, the great thing, you know, obviously GYG operates with a fresh food supply chain, is that we knew that obviously the pressure was going to come off. So we just basically sort of ate it. You know, we didn't want to pass it on to our guests. And we truly believe in the long run, those are the right decisions, right? Giving value to our guests. And that's where we saw great comp growth, obviously, for FY25. And we expect to see, obviously, comp growth improve throughout this year as well.
How do you expect the Australian consumer to travel along? As you mentioned, they're looking for value. Do you expect them to trade down? We've seen this trend in the US where some of your rivals are offering these smaller deals, these $5 deals, for example. And what would that mean for your business?
Yeah. Well, I think those $5 deals you see there, first of all, it's not food, you know, and I'm serious about that. I think, you know, people are becoming more aware of what they're eating. It's a huge part of what GYG believes in, and obviously with our clean menu. But what I love about GYG is that you can have a regular burrito and you can have a mini burrito, and the mini burrito is not so many. I can compare that to traditional fast foods, bigger offerings, right? We have our $3 taco here. We got our $2.50 taco, obviously in the US. Our breakfast is incredible value. So it's kind of like, how do you perceive value? It's quality, it's price, and the experience that you give. And I think that that's resonated heavily with the people in Australia, Singapore, Tokyo, and obviously the US.
You were referring to your first 7 weeks in July. Just to put that in context for this podcast, I think what we're referring to is the investor reaction because shares are down quite dramatically today. Can you go through again, just with that in context, with investors a bit worried about that growth at 3.7% for the first 7 weeks, why are you, seemingly relaxed about it?
Because, like I said, you know, I mean, we're building a generational business. Throughout the, you know, I've been doing this 20 years. For that, for throughout the last 7 years, we've been in this situation 15% of the time, and I've seen where our comps have grown to. What people don't realize is when I look at FY25 to FY26, we have a calendar for the year that covers marketing campaigns, delivery campaigns, you know, great menu creation, you know, technology updates. And we don't line them up year over year, comp on comp. We line it up when it's best for our restaurants. So I know what we have in the pipeline coming through. And I think having been in this situation before and knowing what's coming to our guests and our restaurants, that we're confident that sales will increase from here. And obviously, comp sales will increase as well. I mean, man, it's not that relaxed about it, man. We're in a retail business. We wake up every morning, you know, wanting to do double-digit comps. But also, we know that we're building a generational business and we'll always make the right long-term calls. Now, you know, and I say to, you know, the team here, when they see the reaction with the markets, you know what I mean? We can't control the markets. You know, all we can control is making sure that we stick to our strategy and execute extremely well. And that's one thing our team, you know, year after year do extremely well.
We know that Collins Food is looking to sell its Aussie Taco Bell stalls. Have you looked at them?
Now, I mean, would you look at them? You know, I mean, I don't look at them. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, it goes back to a philosophy of food, right? And think about this Taco Bell's in the US. It comes down to quality of food. I mean, GYG is just solely focused on GYG. We're not looking to buy anyone. You know, obviously in Australia, we think we get to 1,000 restaurants. We opened up 32 this year. That was a record. We'll open up another 32 next year on our way up to 40 restaurants, you know, per annum. The only thing we think about GYG is GYG and the guests that come, obviously, to experience, you know, our food and our people.
When it comes to AI and innovation, how does a company like GYG use it both for the consumer-facing side and in your operations?
That's a fantastic question. We get asked that a lot. Is that, you know, when you think about restaurants at GYG, and I don't know if you've seen the back of a GYG, I mean, these are restaurants. We're cooking food. Obviously, we've got so much fresh ingredients coming in. How we use AI is to make sure the all the admin that has to be done by our restaurant managers and our shift leaders, that is taken care of so they can just focus on preparing fresh, clean food. When you think about the organization that sits above that, you know, obviously a lot of innovation in finance, a lot of innovation on our learning, development, and people team, a lot of innovation in technology. But at the end of the day, all that helps support us to deliver hot, fresh, clean food to our guests and making it easier for our crew to execute. You know, we look at our business in a very simple way. We need to drive revenue, need to drive comp, Never, ever compromise on food quality and people, but make it easier for our crew to execute as revenue continues to build.
Stephen Marks there, the CEO or co-CEO of Guzman y Gomez. Let's take a closer look at the Australian share market now, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 down by 0.57%, 8,967, coming off those record highs it achieved yesterday. But for the week, the index is up about a third of a percent. Today, though, consumer staples, healthcare and property stocks led the declines. There were some gains, predominantly from energy and IT stocks. If we take a look at the best and worst performers today, the best performer was Zip, up by 20.2%, followed by Codan Limited. It gained 8%. The worst performers today, the worst performer was Ingham's Group, the chicken company, down by 20.2%, followed by Guzman y Gomez, off by about 18%. So for more on the day's market action, I spoke with Isaac Poole. He's a chief investment officer at Ascalon Capital.
I think this week you've seen the Aussie market just grind higher, which has been at odds with what you've seen in the US, where there's been a lot more weakness, particularly in that tech sector, which has been driving so much of the returns. So I think here in Australia, you're just seeing some caution going into the weekend, particularly ahead of Fed Chair Jay Powell's speech in Jackson Hole. But overall, I think, you know, this is a market that's taking a breather. There's no real change in sentiment out there. It's still quite strong.
That speech from the Fed Chair later tonight, just how important will it be for markets? And is there expected to be commentary about a rate cut?
It's so important. This week, it's all been about this Jackson Hole speech. Will Fed Chair Jay Powell talk about a rate cut? Will he give a green light to a market that has really moved to price in a full rate cut at the next September meeting? I think this is far more of a line call than what the markets are putting it. We're seeing the unemployment rate and the US jobs market weaken a little bit, but not that much. We're seeing inflation clearly trend higher. So I think that the Fed Chair Jay Powell this tonight is probably going to push back on market pricing a little bit.
But isn't there the threat that tariffs will induce inflation, with the inflation rate being above that of interest rates eventually, a trend you've written about called financial repression? What are the implications?
This is really important because inflation is trending higher. I think tariffs will push it further again. And of course, the administration in the US and the markets are calling for rate cuts, and that will push rates below inflation. Now, US President Trump will love that, because it will reduce the real cost of their deficits and their growing government debt. I think investors will love that, because we saw post-GFC when this trend last started, it pushed investors out into ever more risky assets. But the Fed will not love it at all, because if inflation keeps trending higher and is above interest rates, if they cut too early, then inflation could continue to spiral ever higher and get out of control for the Fed. So there is a real risk here.
Okay, locally, reporting season rolls on. I think we've gone through most of them so far. We've got another big week next week. But so far, and in general terms, what's reporting season telling you about the health of the market? Because what I've noticed is we're seeing some relatively good numbers for the financial year, but it's the outlook that investors are really reacting on.
That's absolutely right. The actual numbers for this quarter have been fairly good, but there's clearly some concerns that earnings growth over coming quarters may not be quick enough to justify what are right now very stretched valuations across the Australian market. And that's manifesting in big falls for companies that don't achieve their earnings growth or don't provide positive guidance. I think this is going to be the key trend over the next 6 months, that companies that do not meet guidance, do not give positive outlooks, are going to get punished severely. And I think that's the big takeaway from this week.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
It's time to be cautious. I think when you're seeing valuations in global equities, in Australian equities at these levels, it's not the time to go chasing returns. I think it's a good time to build some portfolio resilience, maybe pick up some very high quality fixed income, whether that's corporate credit or government bonds. and try and build that resilience over the next 6 months, which could be a far more volatile period.
That's Isaac Poor there from Ascalon Capital, and it wraps up the podcast for the week. Don't forget to give it a like or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you enjoy it, and to click subscribe, and I'll see you next week.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.